Good morning. Today is Wednesday, February the 10th, 41st day of the new year. Joining us this morning, the guy with a new toy, Tom Madsen.
Thank you. Yes, we have a new airline coming April 21st.
Yeah.
Flying to Portland.
How cool is that? Well, we'll find out. Let me see. You know what? I'm going to see, instead of doing sewer or road, I'm going to see if I can find a quote here about airplanes. The beauty is way out. Okay, here we go.
How about have patience? You'll get there.
Do you want patience? No. I got Apple. A is for Apple. Thank you. Okay. Our quote this morning. Come on, baby. Let's go. I probably could have prepped for this a little bit, huh?
Yeah. That would have shown me up.
No, it would have scared me too. Okay, there we go. We got our quote this morning is on air. How was that? That's better. No, I'm not going to use that one. Okay, our quote, fresh air keeps the doctor poor.
As well as an apple.
That's a Danish proverb, by the way, just in case you're trying to source that down. So what happened here? You know, if you're a Jerry Clower fan, I don't know if you do you know Jerry Clower?
No.
Arkansas humor, country humor.
Oh, I know Arkansas country.
Okay. Lightning struck the flying Ginny. That was his. What happened? Triple witching hour? Were you really a good boy at Christmas? What happened here?
No. Once they moved in and we heard they were moving to Crescent City, all of us in the aviation team felt that we would be a good fit. Our staff had been calling them. Fly Humboldt staff had talked to them. We'd actually toured them around our airport some months ago, having them look inside the terminal.
This could be you?
No, this is my staff.
I would say, when they were there, this could be your place.
Exactly. You could be here. What can we do to get you here? If you look at their model of what they did on the East Coast, it was very similar. They went in and got an EAS route as a base. That's what they did at Crescent City to move into Northern California. So we kind of looked at that and said, this is going to be a good fit. It took a while. We thought they could come here earlier, but, they've got to set up their operations. They've got to make sure that they're profitable and they're looking at all the routes. But we were very, very pleased when we got a call Friday morning saying we want to issue a press release saying we're starting service.
Hey, you asked them, were they serious?
I don't even think we went that far other than I was getting emails already of where's the contract from my staff. And
oh, really?
That's something that will work out, but we're just very, very happy. We think it's going to be a successful flight.
Crescent City penciling out for them?
EAS routes are different. They pencil out because they're EAS routes. They're subsidized air routes by the FAA. So that will work out for them no matter what they do, basically. I think they're starting to get decent passenger loads, and they're really, working hard on it. But I think also that they see that, we used to have 110,000 people flying out of ACV, and we're about 60,000 right now. So there's 50,000 people a year that are doing something else other than flying. And
Oakland's getting their unfair share.
That's a long drive.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:19. I think I just got them. We'll be back with more from Tom.
You can take 880 anytime you want.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County Public Works Director Tom Madsen. The airline, the fact that Pan Air is here and that United is here, does that preclude the direct route to LAX that you were hoping for is this augmenting that and just saying, now we got more choices? Look, we might even have three for a little bit. How do the cards stack up now?
We still believe that there's significant demand for LA flight. This is going to add probably 10,000 to 12,000 seats a year, I believe. That still puts it at about 70,000, and we have about a 40,000 passenger demand per year to LA. So we still think we have a strong market for LA. I don't think this precludes it. It gives us more options.
Has there been a demand to Portland?
In the past.
Or Seattle?
Yeah, and Portland and Seattle have both grown as hubs and added flights. SeaTac has got some very, very good landing facilities. So they're both growing hubs on the north coast of the United States. So I think this is a very, very good connection to get anywhere you want out of ACV.
I personally would far rather go north than I would south and then shoot across. I don't know why, if it's just avoiding Denver or avoiding LA. I don't know what it is, but I've never had an issue flying out in that way.
It really depends upon the time of year.
You don't fly into Minnesota.
Minnesota, Chicago
December,
in the winter you want to be going LA, Dallas, Fort Worth.
But is that going to allow connections? Or is there something magical and we're just going to start flying to Seattle and flying to Portland?
This is going to allow the connections out of Portland. And, of course, you can get from Portland to Seattle and Portland to almost anywhere else. But, yes, it will allow. Portland is a hub airport, so it's got a lot of flights to a lot of places.
I suppose the $95 question is the dollar question. Have they talked at all about what the prices are for flying north?
I have not looked at them as of yet, based on what I've read on the blogs. They're running anywhere from $400 a round trip to maybe $250. It's all going to play out because airlines, they price. They're very good at their pricing, and they'll play around with it a little bit until they get to what price they can really work on and works best for them. It's no different than any other economic. When you're in sales, you try to sell for as much as possible. But if you don't sell, you got to drop your price and you got to still make more than you spend. So I think the rates will play a little bit in the first couple of months.
You sure you're a government guy? I mean, if you have that grasp, that puts you in the minority, doesn't it?
I was in the private sector for a lot of years, and I grew up in a family business.
I price it so that you can afford to have it at the price, or you change the... Gee, what a novel concept. Do you think United is going to adopt that?
They have to play with the market. They have to go where the market bears. And, the United's been our baseline flyer for a lot of years. They've seen a lot of airlines come in and go out. And bottom line, who's always there? United. So I think they've been through this before and they've survived. So I think they will survive well.
Not that I'm going to leap on, but I'm going to back off on this one a little bit. Gas prices, they're down. I paid, now granted this was in Oregon, but it's still a great bragging point. Last week, $1.99 for diesel. Now it was, I think, $2.49, and so I know California's still doing the Stabberoony thing. Okay. Have the prices for airplane fuel gone down in any kind of a parallel to what we're seeing at the gas pumps for our private vehicles?
It really depends on the airline and how they hedge the market, because a lot of them, they buy advance, and so their prices were set at the higher prices, and whether it's 3 months or 6 months out, there is a lag on some of the airlines. Some of the airlines are taking pretty heavy hits right now because they bought out into the market at a higher price. And so some of the ones that, buy on the spot, they're reaping the benefits of the lower airfield. But over time, everybody reaps the benefits. It's just a matter of how far out the airline bought commodities in advance of the price drop.
Has the price drop from Eureka or Arcata to LA or San Francisco because of the decreased cost of the fuel, or are they keeping it as if it was priced twice as high as what it is?
I actually can't answer that question because I have not been monitoring the prices.
That's probably a wise thing, because then you don't have an answer.
I speak the truth.
Yeah. Those feet just go dancing away.
Can't tell you what I don't know.
So, which are there any improvements that you need to do at the airport to accommodate these folks coming in?
Not that I'm aware of, because, you know, we've had three air service carriers before, so we have the room in the terminal. We have the you know, it'll be coming in at a different time than the other flights, and even if it's at the same time, we'll be able to field them because we have the people on site. So for us, it's filling a vacuum and a void that we've really, really needed to have. A
couple of screws so they get the right logo on the wall behind, and you're off to the
races.
Yeah,
we're off to the races.
Had a buddy fly in on Sunday. He got in here at 5. There were 30 people. All but one of the rental car agencies was closed, even though they had reservations. They had 4 vehicles. Is that kind of service infrastructure something that the county has any influence on, or is that just the private sector deciding they're going to shut down early because of the Super Bowl, and who's going to be flying during the Super Bowl hours or whatever?
Well, that is something I will have to go back and look into, because if they had reservations, usually they're set up, their keys are waiting, etc. The rental car companies, you know, we did lose one. The other two are doing a lot better than they were now that they don't have the third in competition, but they are private sector concessionaires. And, you know, we have to work very closely with them to make sure that their costs don't exceed their revenues as well. And sometimes that means that they do shut down early. But my information was, usually if you have a reservation, they have a way of getting you the key.
It must have been underneath the rock where the keys were. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
That one I will look into.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Tom Mattson. Talk Shop presented by Redek and CDH Painting. Tom, you also had an opportunity to sit through another excruciating meeting yesterday. And it wasn't the supervisors this time.
Supervisors meeting was great.
Yeah. So what tied up your time yesterday afternoon?
We rolled out the first public meeting for a proposed interim traffic fee for the Eureka area related to the Martin Slough Interceptor project. And there was a lot of feedback about the boundary of the area, primarily about the boundary of the area to be included within the fee, and, you know, what was going to be covered. And it was very interesting discourse. It was attended by, you know, probably 30 citizens with a lot of good input for us to come back and talk about and figure out how we resolve that information and return it back around.
Well, it's not bad for an afternoon.
No, it was a good afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, in theory, the employed are working.
You know, we work for the people, and that means we listen to the people. And a lot of times they might not like what we're presenting, but our job is to take that information back and turn it around to something that can be accepted.
So for those that might not have been there, but listening this morning, what was the gist of the meeting? What were the points that were presented?
Well, the biggest issue is the boundary that we're proposing. Some individuals felt that the boundary should be very, very confined just to the area where the sewer was constructed. Staff feels it should be a bit wider for the greater Eureka area, because that's the area affected, really, both by the sewer and by the traffic in the area. So we've got some work to do to go back and explain, you know, what we're doing, why we're doing, and if it's not right, reducing it and redoing some calculations.
It would be frightening to think it's going to be a developer fee.
It is a developer fee.
Because
there's no development?
Well, yeah. You got that. It's right up there with the old gas tax thing. You know, nobody's driving. Okay, fine. So you got that, but the undue concentration on those folks who are buying the newer homes, okay, that they're carrying not necessarily an unfair share, but a burdensome share in a lot of situations. So is that part of this, kind of spread it across like a school bond, something along those lines, where everybody that benefits participates?
It is that way with the traffic impact fee on areas that are already impacted. You know, the development fee can't pay for the entire upgrade of something that's already impacted. They only have to pay their share. But where they're causing the problem to get severe, yes, they need to pay more. And society's changed. You know, my father's generation, they taxed themselves and built for the future. We haven't done that for quite a long time. Our infrastructure is crumbling, and there's a variety of different mechanisms, and this is one of the legal mechanisms we have to try to improve our community. So we've got to throw it out there and see if the public accepts it.
Toll bridge is out?
Not yet. I just don't know where to put one.
If you could figure out the place where the sinkhole is going to hit, just like poor Brookings and Harbor are having to deal with, or some of the other places, we just put a little bridge across there, and you're in Lake Flint.
Yeah, but our roads serve our people, and that may be 5 or 10 people, but they're very important people because they're residents of Humboldt County, and that's not going to pay a toll.
Okay,
that's
fine.
Part of what we have to figure out is how to provide our rural infrastructure with the resources we have.
Now, this is going on at the same time when the governor's talking about changing the gas tax away from, I guess, a gas tax to something else because of all the fuel efficient and the public transport and the formula that was in place doesn't work anymore, particularly with gas being at the price that it is.
Yeah, the biggest issue was when they did the swap from what they called Prop 42, was a sales tax to an index tax. And then they said that has to be calculated each year to what it would have been if it was a sales tax. Well, when your price per gallon drops from, $4 to $2.50, that's a big difference to try to absorb. We're looking at basically a $600,000 reduction in our road maintenance budget next year, which is really, really going to hurt if something is not fixed.
But that's purely driven by the price of the pump.
It's purely driven by the price at the pump right now. You know, the long-term factors, yes, the increased efficiency, the electric cars, those are building factors. But the biggest factor right now, right today, is the big drop in the fuel price and the reindexing of the gas tax on that.
Okay, let me throw a clinker. Is it the gas being low, or is it the fuel efficiencies that weren't anticipated compounding that situation?
The fuel efficiencies in the electric cars, et cetera, that's a slow building storm. That is something, every year we get a little bit less, This is a cliff. It's a 6-cent drop, basically, in the tax on gas, which is, that's $600,000 to Humboldt County Road Department. That's a huge hit.
That's your toll bridge, man.
I don't think I can get $600,000 toll bridge.
You're getting nailed twice. No toll bridge and a $600,000 hole.
Jeez, there's a lot of activity going on to try to resolve that problem.
We'll talk about that one when we come back. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:42. We'll be back with more from Tom Matson.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back to talk shop with Tom Matson. Tom, so the savings on one side, if you were in charge of the motor pool, is more than offset by the loss in the revenue from the gas tax. Okay. What's the easy solution? Just a flat per gallon bang, and whatever it is whatever it is, and you don't play the sales tax roller coaster?
That would be the best. The baseline funding of X cents per gallon, whatever it is, that gives you a steady amount of funds that you can plan on. People can argue what that should be, what that shouldn't be. But the bottom line is, it's better to have a regular budgeted amount than to have a huge variable, especially when you have limited number of employees and limited amount for materials. What do you cut? What equipment do you park? It's much better to have a steady. And the problem with the steady is it's been there so long it was never indexed with inflation. So over time, again, we've lost, I can't go downtown and buy a gallon of milk for $2 anymore, but
not legally.
Not legally. But I still am required to have the same maintenance for, what I got $2 for 20 years ago.
Yeah, I was just talking about that with radio rates recently. Kind of pretty much what it was 30 years ago when I started.
Exactly.
Frightening. So as you have that flat as an option, that's dandy. But there's been all these tax incentives, all these discounts, all the PC push towards these high-efficiency vehicles that put as much rubber on the road. The wear and tear is there, but the revenue wouldn't be there because, let's say, they're getting twice the mileage as they were before.
Right.
Okay, so is there... The flat doesn't seem equitable unless there was some kind of a premium for those folks driving the high efficiency vehicles, and that's not really ever going to happen.
Well, I wouldn't say it's never going to happen. It's a slow process. It's a very, it can be in some certain circles confrontational, the vehicle mile travel proposal. Oregon started a pilot project. Yeah. California has started a voluntary pilot project, so you can go in and sign up for that. But there's other things.
How's that going, by the way?
I think they have enough volunteers
to make it happen.
To make it happen. I know a lot of people who have volunteered. I'm so into the system that I won't volunteer because I know how to manipulate that system.
I know what my record keeping is. No chance.
There's a lot of ideas that have been thrown out there. There's registration fee increases for those kind of cars to pay for their impact on the road.
That's what I would think. The incentive that's there, the tax incentives that are there, reallocate and throw that to asphalt. I mean, I would be very specific with, asphalt, bridges, that kind of stuff. Not to Caltrans.
I would be very generic to local road maintenance.
Okay, fine. Okay, you can throw in your culverts, but giving it to BART or something like that, compounding the situation, would make no sense at all. Because it's not BART that's the issue. It's the roads. It's the bridges. It's the culverts. It's the gutters.
That's our biggest problem is road maintenance. It's not capital. It's not new, at least not in Humboldt County. It's not new projects in other areas. It might be in transit in other areas, but there's a lot of federal funding put aside for that. And a lot of the bigger areas, they have self-help taxes to pay for that because it's important to them.
So we'll see how it plays out, huh? Is there anything that's pending right now? Do you sense it's going to be addressed shortly, or is this one of those kick it down the road for the next guy?
Well, there's three bills being argued back and forth by the state of California right now, varying, I think, from $3 to $7 billion a year. But there's a lot of discussion about where the money's going to come from. The needs are known. The facts are out there.
Very cool. Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. I'll see you then.